Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to thee. Amen. You may be seated. Can everyone hear me? It's going to be important that you hear me today as we're talking about hearing and hearing the right voice, which is the Lord's voice, as opposed to all those other voices that come at us all the time, right? I heard a story the other day of a man who thought his wife was going deaf, and she was losing her hearing, and he was quite concerned. So he called their primary care doctor and expressed his concern, and the doctor said, well, it's not an emergency, so I can probably get her in about 2 or 3 weeks. But there's a test you can do just to kind of see the severity of her deafness. He said, now, when you get home, stand about 50 feet away and call her name and see if she responds to you and progressively get closer until she answers. He's like, fair enough. So later that evening, he arrives home, and he's in the family room watching the evening news with Lester Holt and drinking his Cavassier while his wife is making dinner in the kitchen. And he thinks, this is as good of time as any. So he stands, he's about 50 feet away, and he says, honey, what's for dinner? No response. So he moves into the family room about 40 feet away, getting closer to the kitchen, and says, honey, what's for dinner? Again, no response. So moves on into the dining room where he's about 30 feet away. Honey, what's for dinner? Nothing. So he moves into the kitchen doorway. Honey, what's for dinner? And again, nothing. He's becoming quite concerned. So he gets right behind her and he says, honey, what's for dinner? And she turns around with a scowl on her face and says, for the fifth time, it's chicken. Some of you will get that in a moment, and feel free to laugh when you do. It's a good one. Isn't that the way it is sometimes in our lives? We either are deaf to what really is going on, failing to perceive reality, or we think it's the other person's problem when really it's our own. That's the problem going on in the gospel lesson today found in John 10. Jesus is sharing a parable, declaring himself as the good shepherd and making his case very clear that his own hear, his voice, and all others are deaf. Verse 3 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate, and the shepherd hears his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. But as you progress through the passage, you see that there are still those who are confused, who aren't quite sure what he's talking about, namely the religious. And so in verse 24, they say, how long will you keep us in suspense? In other words, speak clearly. Quit using these parables, Jesus. Just tell us. Are you the Christ? Now, let me set the scene up for you for a second. Jesus is in the temple. They're about to have a high holiday, and so there's lots of buzz going around the temple. Jewish life spent lots of time. That was where they spent much of their time, were in these temples, but especially around special celebrations. And so Jesus is there yapping it up with those who will listen to him, and crowds are beginning to draw around him. And he's sharing this parable about the shepherd and sheep and hearing his voice and not hearing his voice and who will and who won't. And the religious of the day are beginning to get antsy. They're getting a little apprehensive because he's getting in the way of their business. And so they're ready for him to just move on. So they corner him and ask him a simple question. Stop messing around with us, Jesus. Just tell us, who are you? Just tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or not? Now, they're not asking because they really want to know. They're asking because they want to catch him in a trap so that they can declare him as a blasphemer and have him arrested and possibly killed and taken care of for good. But Jesus, being God and knowing what they are asking, tells them, I've told you already. Weren't you listening when we talked about the gatekeeper and the shepherd and the sheep? In fact, I didn't just tell you, I showed you who I am. I have come to make all things new. To make the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, to make sinners whole. I've come to redeem everything, and I've shown you what that's going to look like, and you still do not believe, and you keep asking me the same old question. And then he says something interesting, maybe even quite frightening for these who are asking the question. Jesus says to them, you don't believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep know my voice, and they follow. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved. But then he gets clearer in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Notice, he doesn't say, you don't believe because you refuse to believe, or you don't believe because you're a big fat sinner on the inside, and even though you follow the rules perfectly on the outside. He doesn't say you don't believe because you've never made a decision for Jesus, or you don't believe because you've never invited Jesus into your heart. No, it's none of the above. You see, they don't believe because they were not his sheep. Of all the things to pick, Jesus picks a little old dumb sheep. How insulting was that? That was kind of a backhanded comment. They're not sheep. I mean, he could have at least picked a dog, which is man's best friend, right? Or a chicken, which has some measurable way of declaring their performance each day. They lay an egg, right? And a really good chicken lays two eggs. That would have been a better insult, right? But a sheep. You don't hear the shepherds bragging about their sheep. It doesn't happen. You don't see much bragging there. We live in a world where everything is based on performance. And we brag about our performance. And we are judged by our performance. And in the kingdom of this world, it makes perfect sense. If you perform well in school, kids, you'll get in a great college. And if you get in a good college and do well, you'll get a good job. And if you do well on the job, you'll get a promotion and possibly a boatload of cash. That's just how it works in this world, right? Another example of that is the best sport in the world. Hopefully you'll agree, golf. Who was watching Master Sunday just a few weeks ago? I was glued to my TV watching it all unfold. And you know what that whole game's about? Performance. If you do well on the golf course, you get invited to be on a tour. And if you do well on the tour, you get invited to go to Augusta. And if you make the cut, you get to play. And if you do well in Augusta and win the game, guess what? You win a green coat and a boatload of cash. That's the way it works. In the kingdom of this world, things just work that way. But it doesn't always seem fair that it works that way. But that's not how it works in God's kingdom. And that's the good news. The Christian life is not based on how well you do, so much so that Jesus calls his followers little dumb sheep who do nothing. And this infuriates the religious because their whole identity is based on works. And Jesus is calling them little dumb, underperforming sheep. Again, have you ever heard of a high-achieving sheep, a really hard-working sheep? Look at that sheep really getting it done. He's really grazing well. Look at how well he eats that grass. Or look at the wool production on that one. He deserves a greener pasture and a corner stall. Let's promote him right on through the ranks of sheephood. That just doesn't happen. Sounds silly, doesn't it? It's just as silly to think that God is impressed with our record, our behavior, our scorekeeping. Friends, at the end of the day, we are dumb sheep who have trouble hearing, like the old man in the kitchen. Or better said, we have selective hearing. We hear only what we want to hear, and in today's passage is all about listening and hearing the voice of Jesus, and learning to block out all the other voices that you're yelling at us through the day. Do you have ears for God today? Better yet, have you been gifted with ears to hear the still, quiet voice of Abba, Father? Luther said that the ears are the most important organ on the body. In fact, it is your hearing is the very first thing you get as a human being. And they've proven this in utero. They can have a mother who speaks to their baby in utero, and the baby will respond. You can see their whole little body shifting to listen and to hear. It's the first sense that creates stimulation in their little brain. I watched it with my own eyes when our youngest Caleb was born. He was born by C-section, and they, if you've ever seen that, but they have all this craziness going on, and they get the baby out, and they're holding him upside down, and they're popping him, and there's bright lights, and he's just freaking out. And my sweet wife just said, Caleb, it's okay, mommy's here, and his little head turned toward her voice. Before he even realized what mommy looked like, voice, he heard her voice. Same is true on the flip side of life. Hearing is the last thing that goes for a dying person. That's why they say it's so vitally important that if you're sitting with a loved one who's dying, that you remind them that they are loved and that they're safe and that God is with them. You remind them that you're okay and that it's okay to let go because many times they're fighting for you. Hearing is the first to come and the first to go. It's the first of all of our senses. It makes me think that perhaps that there are many who follow Jesus, and they follow his voice and do not even know it is Jesus. After all, there is this great little detail in today's passage. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." It's not about us knowing Jesus. It's about Jesus knowing us. The sheep don't have the intellectual know or theologically get Jesus. They just have to follow. Not because sheep are bad hearers, but because they hear the voice of the Father, they hear the voice of the shepherd, and they respond, and they are comforted by their shepherd, and they'll follow that shepherd anywhere he wants to go. I think these words of Jesus can even be found helpful to many of us here today. People who instinctively hear and respond to the right voice and live a life that is worth living, gentle and peaceful lives of service and joy and hope and giving and yearning and learning. People like you who aren't trying to earn your way to heaven, but are simply living a life as you know how to live, getting up each day, loving your family and neighbors well, going to work and doing your job the best you can, and then coming and being reminded and listening to the gospel in your life over and over and over. Why? Because Jesus knows you, and he has gifted you with ears to hear. Friends, these words help me when I stumble and bumble and get all worked up, when I become like the religious leaders in the passage and start questioning him. Friends, are we not much different than the religious 2,000 years ago? We too challenge the Good Shepherd with the same words. If you are the Christ, just tell us. Just show us your Godhood. But the words and the works of Jesus say and does are far greater than what we can do. For there is a God, and he speaks to us in his voice of his word. There is a God who meets us where we are and loves us too much to leave us there. There is a God who walks beside us in our hardship and pain, bearing our burden. And there is a God who has shown himself, for Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he and the Father are one. But our world cannot see this. It cannot hear the voice of the shepherd because it is still listening to the subtle seductions of the robber who has snuck into the pen. And they're seeking self-satisfaction and justification rather than clinging to the Good Shepherd, because their ears have not been open and their eyes are still blind. But for those of us who have been gifted with ears, this is where the sweet words of Jesus come in. Listen to these words. "My sheep hear my voice." Listen. "And I know them." He knows you, church family. "And they follow me, and I give them eternal life." That's you. "And they will never perish, and no one will steal them from me." You're safe. "It is his voice which has made you part of his flock. As he has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, it is Jesus' voice which has called you to follow him wherever he goes. For Jesus is the Christ. He is the one whom God himself chose to be your good shepherd. And he has been speaking plainly to his flock ever since. For Jesus spoke plainly on the cross with his words, 'It is finished,' defeating once and for all sin, death, and the devil, and calling his scattered flock to himself. And this same work was so profound that even a pagan soldier on the night of his execution declared, 'Surely this was the Son of God.' His ears had been opened to hear." Today, as we bring this sermon in for a close, he shows himself to you, his modern day flock, with words of comfort and works of grace. For it is Jesus' own words in his own voice, which will tell you this morning, "I forgive you all of your sins." It is Jesus' own hands which gently wash you. And it is Jesus' own hands which today give you his very body and blood and to strengthen and preserve you in true faith. And Jesus says, "I will give them eternal life." Beloved in Christ, he does so not based upon you, but upon himself. For this eternal life is his, which he won through his death and resurrection, and he will bestow it on you, his flock, because Jesus is the Christ. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the chosen one of God who holds you in the power of his hands to protect you from the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life. Can you hear me now? Jesus came that you might have life in abundance. Amen.